Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. It's a legacy 150 years strong. Laura Ingalls Wilder spent a lifetime writing, and a new book strives to put that legacy into context. From the Pioneer Girl Project, Pioneer Girl Perspectives, it's a collection of essays and speeches. And here to talk with us about it now, the editor of the work, Nancy Tysted Copel. Nancy, welcome to In the Moment.
Thank you.
Nancy, give me an idea of when you first started thinking about, you know, gathering essays and providing perspective in creating this new book.
We started thinking about it in 2014 as we were wrapping up the editing of Pioneer Girl, the annotated autobiography. We recognized that Pamela Smith Hill, the editor of that work, had done an excellent job in framing her perspective about Wilder. But we also realized that there was the opportunity for many perspectives, and also the opportunity to dig deeper into a number of aspects of Wilder's life that the book we were working on then just really didn't allow. So that was kind of when we started thinking about it, and we started, you know, we knew there were unanswered questions that we wanted some answers to and some ideas about. So
this is before you really had an inkling of how successful Pioneer Girl, the annotated autobiography, would become, right?
That's right.
Remind us just the sort of runaway success of that book.
Well, we released it in November of 2014, right before Thanksgiving, and it sold out within 3 weeks. we could see it was going there, so we had already ordered a second printing, but we didn't realize that the second printing should have been about 100,000 copies rather than the 15,000 that we ordered. So we just spent almost an entire year scrambling to keep ahead of the demand, which is a beautiful problem to have, but it can be a scary problem too.
Still a challenge. So what do you think caught fire in people's imaginations where they just had to have that book?
Well, you know, that's one of the questions, of course, that we asked all the authors for the Pioneer Girl Perspectives, is just because that question gets asked all the time. Why was this book, or why is this author continue to be so relevant and so important and so interesting to people? And I think there are a lot of different kinds of answers. The one that I traditionally give is that I think we'd all really like to be a member of the little family that lives in the little houses. It's a perfect family. The adults behave like they should. The children are respectful, and it's a warm and cozy place that I think we'd all like to live in. And the beauty of it is, as one of the authors in this new book, Pioneer Girl Perspectives, Anne Romines, the beauty of it is, she says, it's always there for us to go back to. We can always go back to that little house.
When you started approaching people to make comments and to contribute to this new book, Pioneer Girl Perspectives, were you met with hesitation, enthusiasm? Did they feel it was a daunting task? What sort of response did you get?
You know, we got a combination of all of that. You know, some people were excited right from the beginning. Others thought, oh boy, I don't know what I have to say that would be new. Others immediately knew what they wanted to look at. And you know, one of the puzzles in Wilder studies, of course, is this episode that she never wrote into the books, but she talked about in her public speaking, was these serial killers that lived in Kansas, and she had a memory of them. But as it turns out, it couldn't be a legitimate memory because she was not there at the time. right. in Kansas. So it's a puzzle that comes up. How does this fit into her memory? Why is it a piece of her memory? And one of the authors, Caroline Frazier, knew immediately that she wanted to study that some more.
What are some of the other unanswered questions or areas that need to be unpuzzled still about Laura?
Sorry, I didn't hear the end of that, please.
What are some of the questions that still need to be answered about Laura?
Well, I think one of the persistent or, you know, perennial questions is to what extent did her daughter participate in the editing and agenting and writing of the Little House books? There's, when Laura wrote her autobiography in the, she was 63 years old when she completed her autobiography. And she had been a journalist prior to that time. She'd written newspaper columns, she'd written magazine articles, but she'd never written fiction, which her daughter had written. And so there's always been this question as how did Wilder become such an outstanding fiction writer, to write all these best-selling books that are still read even these years later. So I think that's one of the unanswered questions that we will be looking at during this conference, and which, you know, the authors have looked at as well.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. My guest, Nancy Tysted Copel. And with the Pioneer Girl Project, we're talking about a new book called Pioneer Girl Perspectives, Exploring Laura Ingalls Wilder. It's available this spring. Is it released yet, Nancy?
No, it'll be released on May 18.
Okay.
We're previewing it at the South Dakota State Historical Society History Conference in Sioux Falls in the next 2 days.
And there's a pre-release book signing and meet the authors time here, and that's this Thursday, right? It's April 27th, 5:30 to 7 p.m. That's at Coke Hazard on Phillips Avenue in Sioux Falls. And Nancy, give me an idea of who all was involved in contributing to this book. I know you probably don't want to list everyone, but some of the highlights.
Well, I mentioned a couple of the people. There are 10 authors. One of them is Noel Silverman, who is the representative of the Little House Heritage Trust, who has been guarding Wilder's legacy since the 1960s. He brings a unique perspective to the story. There's Bill Anderson, who's a longtime scholar of Wilder. There are two people from the literature profession, three historians, one American studies person, and just a host of different viewpoints. Caroline Frazier is coming, and Caroline Frazier has done some excellent articles for the New York Review of Books and the Los Angeles Review of Books on Wilder that are really outstanding literary discussions of Wilder and her themes. There's Michael Patrick Kern, who is a specialist in children's literature and not only authors but illustrators as well. So we'll talk a little bit about the illustrations in the Wilder books.
By the great Garth Williams.
Yes, the great
right.
Garth Williams.
Next week is Children's Book Week, I think National Children's Book Week as well. And as we talk really about her legacy in her life and sort of the academic perspectives, it's easy to overlook what these books did for the world of kid lit and how they
right.
still sort of hold that, or they're one of the pillars that hold it up today.
Right. Yeah. Correct.
What is the community of researchers like, Nancy? Do these people talk together? Do they share information? What's that sort of culture like?
You know, it's an interesting question, because I would say there's more than one level or more than one culture involved there. You do have the academics, and they talk to each other to a certain extent. They all sort of know the same sources and resources, and but there's also a very talented pool of historians that do it just out of love, that have studied everything from the climate of the Great Plains at the time of Laura's tenure there, or her stay there, I walked into the archives one day and someone was studying the train schedules that were being used by the railroad during Wilder's time. You know, I mean, there's this intense interest and passion for Wilder research that exists on a non-academic level as well.
Right. Do you ever get to the bottom of it and struggle to find something fresh, or does it just, every time you turn the dirt a little bit, something else blossoms?
That's absolutely right. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's research is like that, though. It's as a researcher, you're a detective, and that's always there's always new clues.
What surprised you, or what did you learn that you didn't already know once the work from the different contributors came in?
You know, I think one of the things that I suppose I knew, but I really hadn't thought very much about, is that Rose Wilder Lane, who became a writer became a famous writer before her mother, had really started her career in journalism at the time of the Hearst and Pulitzer yellow journalism era, back in the teens, in the 19-teens. And that really colored how she worked, and frankly how she conveyed her craft to her mother.
Interesting.
And I think that's a fascinating story that Caroline Fraser is going to tell. It tells in this book.
What do you wish that you knew about her life, other than, you know, how much did Rose contribute to the writing? What do you wish you knew about her daily life that you just can't quite unpuzzle from the current research?
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question.
You'll know it when you see it, huh?
I'll know it when I see it. That's right.
All right. My guest, Nancy Tysted Copel. The book is Pioneer Girl Perspectives, Exploring Laura Ingalls Wilder. Nancy, we've got some details here. So this is part of, there's a pre-release and author signing party, and that is on April 27th, Thursday, 5:30 to 7 p.m. in Sioux Falls at Coke Hazard. And then the conference is the South Dakota State Historical Society History Conference, April 28th and 29th. Is that right?
That's correct.
And what's the location for that?
That's at the Holiday Inn City Center in Sioux Falls, downtown Sioux Falls. Uh-huh. And there will be a book signing at the reception that will be held Friday night as well.
So. And so readers who go to that reception can purchase their books ahead of the May 18th publication date. Then.
That's correct.
All right.
That's correct.
Pioneer
to go to
Girl.
Either one of those receptions. So.
PioneerGirlProject.org is where you can find more about the book. Nancy, I want to say thank you so much for your time.
Well, thank you so much for having me.